podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast. It's James Gregg and Chris Millard with you once again. And as promised, post-test one, little recap, little look back. The dust has settled. We're recording this actually on the Thursday after the first test match and the start of the women's Ashes as well. For those of you who are thinking, what are they doing? Why aren't they watching this? Well, play hasn't started yet, so Trent Bridge, place to be for that. Chris, though, we want to look back at Edgbaston. I'll be honest, an amazing test match. I don't think that's up for debate, really. But what a great week we had as well. What a great week. Everything was perfect, bar the result. But even that, we'll come on to that, but that might actually work in England's favour. Just talk to us about what a week you had as well, because it was brilliant from start to finish. From day one, Rooty scoring 100, the Ashes party, which we'll talk about, to, you know, obviously the final day where it was so, so exciting. You got the feeling the entire country was interested in it. It doesn't get a great deal better than that.
No, you're exactly right. It was a special, really special week, actually, during the test match. It was just such a far cry from the forgotten Ashes that was in Australia 18 months ago. That first ball just summed it up for me. The Rory Burns clean bowled first ball two years ago, whatever it was. And then Zach Crawley crunching one for extra cover for four. What a way to start the Ashes. What a way to set the tone. And I just, when he hit that four, it was like we were sat there, weren't we? It was like a goal had been scored at a football match. It was absolutely bananas. It was brilliant. It was just, you could just see so much excitement in the crowd. You could, you know, when you walk into a stand, and I guess this is very apparent in live sport, where you can just feel the tension, the anxiety, the excitement, and it's so exciting. You just get a little lift, and I think the players could feel that as well. And we saw, well, what transpired over the course of the week was pretty special. It was fantastic cricket. I can't remember many test matches that it's gone literally 50-50 until the last 50 overs of the game. Last 10 overs of the game, the last 50 runs of the game. It was still the roll of a dice, wasn't it? Winvis was changing Blenheim Elm more times than Neil Warnock changes football clubs. It was just absolutely crackers. So it was, yeah, very special, very enjoyable. And for Barmy Army as a business, I know it's not the result we wanted for England, but for the Barmy Army, wow, we had record attendances on our tickets. We had a fantastic working relationship with Edgbaston. We sold, blooming heck, we must have sold thousands of bucket hats all around the ground. Very fairly priced, I must say. £30 for the ECB bucket, £20 for the Barmy bucket. I saw a lot better of Barmy Army buckets. There you go.
Cheers, it is buddy. Actually genuinely better. It genuinely is. And then, so good.
It's just great. What a fantastic. And then Barmy Bingo. I'll let you wax lyrical about Barmy Bingo, because I've been living and breathing it in the build-up to this. Your first experience. You hosted it for us. You did a fabulous job. I usually slag you off, but you were fantastic. You did a great job. It was a little bit of a fish out of water for us all, I think, running a crazy bingo night. We had a few choice words in the dress rehearsal when I had to get you loosened up, but just said you did a brilliant job. So you tell us all about it.
You know what? It was so good, because when you initially introduced the concept, and I think probably if you listen back to the previous podcast that we did pre the first test, not kind of trepidation, that's the wrong word, probably the uncertainty in my voice was palpable to those listening when we were talking about Barmy Bingo, and I'm billing it up as this big thing, but I'm a little bit unsure. I'm thinking, am I going to be all right doing this? But you know what, the whole thing was, and I've said this on Twitter, I've said it where else as well, is that, look, me and you, we've been doing this kind of stuff for God knows how long, since uni, doing little bits and pieces, building bits and bobs up, doing events in Sri Lanka with Matt Pryor on stage to Cape Town on New Year's Eve and goodness knows wherever else, up in Sheffield, down in London, overnight Ashes party, all this kind of stuff. That we did on Friday night was the best bar none for me. That it was just so, so good. The amount of people that came in, and this wasn't, you know, we can't take credit for the fact that people came in, England 300 and odd declared, Aussies had, what, 15, 20 minutes batting on that first day. Everyone was in a great mood. The atmosphere was crackling. People queuing up to try and get some last minute tickets to the Ultimate Ashes party, Barmy Bingo. And Chris Page on the DJ decks. Obviously, Finchie, who'd been blowing the trumpet all day long in the Hollies. I mean, bless you, he was to be knackered. And then, you know, you were saying, come on, we're doing a little run through before. You're saying, you need an extra drink here, son. You need to get on the same level as all the crowd. And to be fair, what a night it was. It was so, so good. And I'm not just saying this. For anybody listening, if you're thinking, what is this all about? Have a little look on the Barmy Army Instagram page. There's a great video, just tries to kind of encapsulate it a little bit. And if you see any Ultimate Ashes parties advertised for the remainder of this Ashes series, I mean, just get your ticket. Like, just get it. Don't even think about it. Whether you're at day one or day two or whatever it is, just get your tickets. Or brilliant. So much fun. So, so much fun. And it was a great, like, mix of a crowd. My favourite moment was, I mean, there was a few sort of relatives of players there, wasn't there? The likely culprit. But actually, there was a great moment where we're singing the Harry Brooks song, corresponding with his number for Barmy Bingo number 88. And his grandma was stood in the middle of the room singing her grandson's Barmy Army song really loudly. And everyone turned it from Harry Brook to Granny Brook. And I thought that was fantastic. So, so many different moments for that. So that actually set the test match off onto a brilliant little trend. Look, me and you aren't cricket experts. I'm thinking anybody who's listened to the 80-odd episodes we've done of this podcast probably knows that. But but we're going to get Ryan Sidebottom on in just a moment just to get his thoughts. Good old City, Ashes winner himself, legend. So, Chris, the rest of the summer, how does it look from your perspective? Because we've got a bit of a gap, haven't we? Quite nicely spread out just to prolong the Ashes fever throughout the summer of these test matches. So next one, Lords, not traditionally the biggest event for the Barmy Army at Lords test match, just by nature of, you know, the rules and regulations that are thrust upon us. But how's it looking from your perspective? Because it's not going to be quiet from your side.
No, it's never a quiet day during the Ashes, but we've got the women's test that starts today, as you said, the Thursday as we're recording this podcast. We will be there. We've sold tickets. We've got quite a few people down there. We'll be selling merchandise there. We've got a correspondent there for all 4 days, 5 days, sorry, working across Barmy Army social media channels. I'll be there tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to going there. It's actually my first taste of the women's Ashes. So really looking forward to seeing that, and a sold out Trent Bridge as well to follow. So looking forward to that. And then Lords the week after, it's not going to be as crazy as Edgbaston for us, granted. But again, we'll be reporting on it like we do for every test match. I will be there on one of the days, which I'm looking forward to. We have also got watch along events going on. So we've got a venue, thanks to our partners at Stonegate, which is Clubhouse in Leicester Square, brand new venue, which is absolutely outstanding, by the way. And that is going to be open from the first ball to the last ball every day of the test match. We're promoting Barmy Army watch-alongs in there. All Barmy Army first-class members get 20% off their first round of drinks. And let me tell you, in Leicester Square, I think that'll go quite a long way. So it'll be fantastic in there. And on the Friday especially, we're doing a massive party. Watch along party. So everyone get in there for the first ball. Sky Sports are going to be there. Talk Sport are going to be there. We're going to be watching along all together. Finchie will be there with his trumpet. We'll be singing songs all together. And then we're going straight into an Ultimate Ashes party that evening. So there's lots going on, James, as ever. But that Friday, if you're going to do any day, if you're in London and you want to come along, I'd suggest that Friday at Clubhouse. Everything can be found on our website, barmyarmy.com, or our social media pages. But that'll be Lords. Once we go 1-1 at Lords, we'll be back on this podcast with another guest, and we'll be talking about our fantastic plans for for Headingley.
Yes.
And yeah, blimey, and how we're going to make it 2-1 at Headingley. I have so much confidence we're going to win this Lords test.
No, I do as well. I think it does play into the hands. Also, you know, and like, There's a lot of people. I'm not going to go on the rant. We talked about this yesterday, didn't we? Kind of before the recording, I was saying, look, you know, there's a lot of people who come out of the woodwork who've not said a bean all the way through the test match and like to offer their negative opinion. And if spots and maybes, everybody's entitled to an opinion. That we're never going to argue with that. What I would say is that, you know, Jimmy was recovering from an injury. Ollie Robinson was recovering from an injury. Ben Stokes had barely played any red ball cricket. None of the guys had played any red ball cricket, but they looked so up for it, even like under the pump. I thought Pat Cummins, credit where credit's due, was absolutely fantastic in that last hour. I know it pains me to say it on a Barmy Army podcast.
He's just so good, isn't he? He's just so good at cricket and nice.
Yeah. No, he is. Yeah, he's one of the more tolerable ones, isn't he, of the visiting party. But yeah, but you just think it was so close. Great advert for Test cricket. We're going to talk with Siddy in just a second. We'll get his thoughts on what Ben Stokes was saying and stuff post-match. But absolutely... It was brilliant. But I think that now those players have got themselves into that test match groove, you're right. I can't really see anything in than an England win at Lords. Right, I tell you what, we're going to get Siddy on. We'll talk to him about everything. First test here on the Shackled Rock podcast. Now, we just want to quickly break away from the podcast just to talk about that brilliant destination that is... County Durham or the city of Durham in general. Chris, you had a brilliant time in Durham last year. You might remember on previous podcasts that we waxed lyrical about it. You went up for an ODI, was it, with the rest of the Barmy Army team, and you were like blown away with what a fantastic couple of days you spent there. Talk to me about Durham.
Fabulous. It was really hot as well. I think common misconception is that it's always a little bit cold in Durham, but every time I've been there the last couple of years for cricket, it's been an absolute scorcher. I think it was even the hottest day of the year on record last time we were there. So we had a fantastic time. We always do at Durham. What a lovely ground it is and what a lovely place. The people are just a bit friendlier than most of the rest of the country. I think perhaps that's a north-south thing because we're both northerners, but yeah. I think when you get to Durham, you do find the salt of the earth characters and they just love cricket. They're really passionate. You've got a really good cricket club in and around Chesley Street as well, and what a great town centre they've got. It's just a really good place to spend a day, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And I know this is an advert, but in all honesty, it's somewhere that I look out for in my calendar at the start of the fixture list and pick that one out as a nice little break away from the craziness of all the other places we visit.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chesley Street this year. ODIs, obviously, it's a shame there's no Ashes test match this time around. I know it has done in the past. Any county that is associated, by the way, with Mark Wood, Sir Ian Botham, Ben Stokes, probably soon to be Sir Ben Stokes himself, is basically, it's a brilliant place to be, right? And they do love cricket. Like you say, they've got a big thirst for it. So if you do fancy visiting Durham, it's thisisdurham.com. And we're not just talking about the cricket either here, by the way. That cracking little river with all the little bars and restaurants, local produce as well for the food. Great place to go. This is Durham.com. And what did you do extracurricular activities? Because we know that you like soaking in the test match and you're very, very busy. But talk to me about like what you did. I mean, did you go to some of the little local pubs? I'm guessing that you probably didn't just go back to the hotel room and read your book, mate.
No, I didn't go back to the hotel room and read the book. I was actually joined by my partner on this trip as well. So we made a bit of a trip of it. We went all over the town centre, but we also went to the Beamish Museum, which is wicked. For those of you that haven't been before, it's a really fun day out. It's completely different to what you'd normally experience. We also took a trip down to some of the famous pubs, some very old pubs in Durham, by the way. Some very famous pubs over there, so you'd be sure to check them out. I'm not going to specifically talk about each individual pubs, but I'm sure you'll have a great time frequenting them.
There we go. So this is Durham.com. Get yourself up north where the weather and the people are always nicer. One of those may or may not be true. Some test matches are just far better than others. And I've got to say that first test match was an absolute cracker. Although England were on the wrong side of it. So much to take pride about and look back on with sort of fondness, etc. Ryan Sidebottom, England legend, joins us on the Shackles Are Off podcast. Siddy, great to have you on, mate. Great to have you on at late notice as well.
Great to be back.
It's always good to have you on, buddy. You obviously soaked in a lot of that first test match. What are your initial thoughts now the dust has settled and we've had like, what, a couple of days to sort of just think about it and let the emotions settle down? What are you thinking?
I mean, firstly, what I'll say is, what an advert for Test cricket. It was enthralling, wasn't it? Captivating, exciting, nerve-wracking. It had absolutely everything. And for it to go on the last hour of the last day of a Test match, Ashes Test match, was, and it could have gone either way, it was phenomenal, wasn't it? It was everything you want to ask in terms of Test cricket. And I say, you know, yesterday I was at the races at Ascot, and so many people were coming up to me and going, you know, wow, we watched that. What a Test match. It was amazing. You know, people on the train, you know, watching one single iPad, you know, listening and watching the Test match. It was brilliant, wasn't it? In a time where I think you've got IPLs and so much franchise cricket and everyone's talking about Test cricket now, and everybody's coming up to me going, who's going to win? What's the score going to be? England, are they still going to play the same way, Bazball-like? And honestly, it's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think now the dust settles, obviously people are always going to have their opinion, especially when England lose. Yeah. There's so many different connotations in terms of should they have done this, should they have done that. I just like the way England are going about the cricket at the moment. I'm not going to criticise. Yes, of course, look, there's the declaration, isn't there? There's bringing Moeen Ali in, you know, 2 years in the wilderness, retired from Test cricket. Was it going to work? Catches win matches, and they dropped a few catches at crucial times. So England could have quite easily won that match, easily. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's the beauty of Test cricket. So let's not criticise this team and get carried away from where they were sort of 2 years ago to 18 months. You know, look at the difference. It's brilliant watching. You know, you've got people wanting to watch Test cricket now. And for me, that is the number one, wanting to watch Test cricket, because it is the pinnacle.
Yeah, do you think we've got another 2005 on our hands, Siddy?
I think, you know what, I think we have. I really do. After that first test, and I just can feel it going to the last day, England have asked for fast, bouncy, flat wickets, haven't they, to sort of play that entertaining. So I think every game's going to go 5 days. I think it's brilliant. And I'm so excited. I love the first test. Of course, I want England to win. You know, I'm not one of those old boys that goes, England have lost. That's brilliant. I really desperately want England to win, and I love how they're playing the cricket.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, Stokesy, post-match, 5 minutes after, you know, doing all the usual suspects in terms of the media and stuff, spoke so well, I thought. I know that obviously we're incredibly biased, and we all, I think, as a three collectively, love it. Like, just love the way that he goes about his business. But he's sort of saying, you know what, we're not a results-driven team. We want eyeballs on screens. We want bums on seats. We want ears listening to the radio. We want people reading about it and talking about it. And that's exactly what they've done. Is the part of, and this is me being, just flipping the other side of the coin a little bit here. There's part of Ben Stokes, isn't there? The winner that is Ben Stokes, the man who digs in when the victory is so close. We've seen him do it countless times in an England shirt, that will have been thinking, ah, you know what? We've done everything there but win. Knowing Stokesy as we do a little bit, I mean, he's going to be even more fired up. So potentially losing that first test is going to make them really even more fired up than they already would have been for test 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, and I think with Stokesy, he's been accustomed to so many highs and lows throughout his career, and he's been there and done it so many occasions. And again, I love his interview. It was honest. It was, you know, he told it how it was. And you don't kind of see that this day and age. And it was brilliant. I really enjoyed his interview. And I think, look, if that's the style they're going to play, they've stuck to it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to play attacking cricket. And you are totally right. Everybody is talking about. And, you know, any news about England cricket, Test cricket, is good news. And the first day, you know, yeah, the declaration, you know, even I was a little bit, oh, is it, you know, maybe 60, 62 too short, when, you know, Rooty was going well and they were, you know, smacking the runs around. But actually, everybody was talking about that declaration. And again, it's great for English cricket. You have to admit that.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't spoken about England cricket team, test team, in a, like this in a long, long time. And I'm just right behind the team. Of course, there's always this. I've got an opinion. You know, I wasn't quite sure about the Moeen Ali selection. You know, Ben Foulkes, again, could you get Ben Foulkes in somewhere? Could you move the top order up one and maybe drop Zach Crawley? There's always those connotations of what if and could we do that? And again, that is talking about Test cricket and talking about this England team. So for me, it's absolutely outstanding. I'm loving every minute of this team playing.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. I just want to ask you, Siddy, put yourself, Test match fast bowler yourself, put yourself in Pat Cummins' shoes when the last day, but sorry, whenever Rooty was in the second to last day, a load of pressure on him to score runs here and get England to something, to a total where you think, okay, we're good there. What do you do? How do you feel as a fast bowler when he goes to reverse scoop you the first ball of a Test match day?
There'd probably be a few rather large expletives coming out of my mouth. First and foremost, a little bit of some kind of abuse, and then they'd be like, "Oh my goodness, I'm quite embarrassed now. I'm getting scooped for six first ball of a morning session in a Test match." But I think the Australian bowlers, our bowlers now, will probably realise, look, we've just got to keep doing our thing, and not get carried away. And if that's the shots they're going to play, you know, good luck to them. And it's a great shot. And I think you've almost got to kind of take it on the chin a little bit. But with that, I've noticed that the Aussie bowlers and the England bowlers have got exceptional skills. Their skills have improved because of that. And they're having to think more. You know, you saw with the bouncers and then bowling a Yorker and how Robinson got Khawaja, you know, a couple of short deliveries, then a Yorker. So I think bowlers are going to have to change. But I think if you get carried away, your head's going to go, and I think you'll bowl even worse. So I think you've just got to keep plugging away, hitting that heavy length. Because if Rui's going to do that, I mean, wow. I mean, it's a percentage shot now, isn't it, as well? He's even said himself, he goes, the only way I'm going to get out is probably caught slip. And as a bowler, that would probably piss me off as well. For want of a better word. I mean, that's just taking the Michael, isn't it? It's like, I could only get caught slip. All right, brilliant. That's great. Thanks. But yeah, I think it's wonderful. And it, you know what? Again, it's innovative. It's great to see. And what I'll say for Joe is he's kind of, you know, he's coming to this team and there's a little bit of talk about Rooty. He's a bit more old school and the style of batting. Yes, he's an amazing batsman. But he's kind of reinvented himself once again. He's taken himself to that next level. I mean, he's arguably or the best batsman around the world at the moment and comfortably, you know, in the last 10 years. And again, you know, credit to him, how he's changed his game to suit this England team. And he's done it so, so well.
Yeah, awesome. Siddy, always great to get your thoughts. Just before you go, are you dusting the spikes off this summer, playing any charity stuff, any legends stuff?
I'm doing a few Lashings games and PCA, and then I might be going to India again for a veterans IPL. But I might have to bowl a few more overs this time. Last time I turned up thinking, oh, I'd be all right, I'll just turn my arm over, and it couldn't have been further from the truth. They were all smashing the ball everywhere. But yeah, I'm excited. I'd still love my cricket, look, as you guys do, and you know, I love watching England cricket. You know, I've had my time and I'm really enjoying this team now, the way they're playing. It's brilliant to watch. And, you know, I'm very lucky to be hosting, you know, at each Test match venue for 4 days at each ground now. So I can't wait to watch this team and how it's going to pan out, because it is going to be really exciting. It really is. And I'm so excited to be watching this team as well.
Can we prize you out of the hospitality suites for an hour or two to sit with the trumpeter at Old Trafford?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, are we not going out for a bite to eat as well?
We are.
I promise I'll be on best behaviour. No Jaeger bombs or anything like that.
It's day one. We'll have to go steady.
If you believe anything.
Yeah, I'll come and sit with a trumpeter and have a bit of a banter with him. Yeah, absolutely. Quality. Of course. Yeah,
legend. Siddy, top man. Thanks for coming on. Cheers. Thanks for giving us your expert
opinion. Pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
Cheers, pal.
Take care.
Now we're just going to quickly break away from the podcast once more to tell you about something that, look, I'm gearing myself up here because I'm not in the same room as Chris. I don't think that's really a secret. I'm looking at him, though, looking very smart, sat at Barmy Army HQ, little zip-up polo type thing on, looks really nice. I'm sat here slobbing about, like, classic. So I'm going to ask that question, Chris. Where have you got your gears from?
Delighted to announce a new partner at the Barmy Army. House of Cavani have come to us with a new partnership. We are absolutely buzzing with this one because I think we all know that you can't dress yourself. So having menswear partners is a blessing to us. And House of Cavani really is a step up for us. The quality of stuff that they do there. I've actually been to a wedding recently. It was my sister's wedding. It was before we did this deal, so I wasn't able to access the first class member discount, unfortunately. However, I was in a House of Cavani suit and I looked the part, I think is fair to say. Not to be big headed or boasting, but it was a wedding. You've got to dress up for that. So whether it's a wedding, a job interview, formal event, or just your everyday office attire like what I'm wearing now, House of Cavani do have you covered. As I just mentioned, we have a discount code for first class members, which is a code that I'm not going to tell you on air because you have to log into your membership account to access that. Barmy Army First Class members receive 25% off, which is massive when you're buying a suit or something nice and smart, or even just something smart casual to wear out on the weekend. 25% off for Barmy Army First Class members. Generic code for podcast listeners for 10% off is Barmy10. Barmy in capitals and then 10, 1, 0. So Barmy 10 for 10% off anything on House of Cavani menswear, applicable to full price items only. Make sure, Greggy, the first thing you do after this call is don't be going on a rant on Twitter or anywhere else. Get on House of Cavani and sort your blooming wardrobe out.
Okay, noted. Thank you very much. House of Cavani and the code for every listener, Barmy 10. That right, Chris?
That's correct.
Okay, we're done. We're straight there. Great to get the thoughts of Ryan Sidebottom here on the podcast. What a legend. He's got, by the way, for those of you who do know Ryan Sidebottom a little bit and are familiar with his appearances on this podcast before, he has this amazing knack, Chris, of just popping up and just doing whatever we ask of him. He's so what a legend. And we used to be scared of him. Do you remember when we were at uni in Leeds and we used to see him out and we'd be like, oh my God, that's Ryan Sidebottom, because he's massive and he's stocky and he's, you know, whatever. But he's lovely, lovely man and knows the game really well.
Yeah, I know, mate. We're showing our age, aren't we? A
little bit.
So he was our heyday cricketer for us. But he was. What a bloke. What a lovely bloke. I've spent a lot of time with him now and he's one of my pals in the cricketing world, but it never fails to surprise me that he's such a big, strong, hairy bloke and his voice is just so squeaky.
There's a lot of people there who will be listening to that thinking, is that Ryan Sidebottom or is that someone doing an impression? Yeah, great. Great to get his thoughts. We're going to get some of the stars, if you like, on in some of our other podcast previews. Also, just a quick reminder, if you want to go back our back catalogue, I'll say it every podcast till the end of time here. Back catalogue, better than any podcast out there. Just saying. The list of guests is quite ridiculous. So if you have just stumbled across this and thinking, what on earth is this? Trust me, go back. The list is endless. From Alan Donald to Sir Andrew Strauss to Sir Alistair Cook to Joe Root a couple of times. It's monumental, really. Kevin Peterson. I mean, I'm not going to start going reeling them all off. Have a look yourself on this podcast feed. It's unbelievable. Chris, before we go, we're obviously going to be back at the end of the second test, talking about that second test match and England's famous victory. Before you go, obviously, test matches abroad to think about as well.
Absolutely. So we've got the test this winter, which is going to be a 5-test series in India, which is going to be amazing. That's January, February next year. But in the lead up to that, we've got a World Cup in India, which is October, November. The schedule will be coming out shortly. Finally, but I know the big one for a lot of people that will be listening to this podcast is Christmas in the Caribbean. I mean, we're going to 4 fantastic islands, Antigua, Barbados, Grenada and Trinidad. What a fantastic way to spend a gloomy December. Mm-hmm. Starts at the start of December, finishes on about the 23rd of December. We've got a range of packages on barmyarmy.com that are, they are selling very fast, and we are running out of time on those. So if you are interested, book. And don't forget, amazing promotion that we did for the first Test of the Ashes.
This is ridiculous, by the way. Ridiculous.
England first innings total of £393. We have taken that off the Barbados package, flying from London, staying in the Hilton Hotel for a week only. So you'll be listening to this. There'll be a few days left on it. Make sure you get on that now. There's very few places left, but that's £393 each per person off the package. So yeah, make sure you get on that and make sure you're out in Barbados for a week at Christmas.
Hear, hear. The Ashes continues next week. Of course, the Women's Ashes starts today. We'll be covering everything on the social media channels. We'll be back, of course, with another podcast very soon from Chris Millard and myself, James Gregg. We will speak to you next time. Thanks so much for listening.
Podcast Network.